Hello and welcome into our week two preview. This is Find the Edge with Nick and Cody. We are going to take a look at the lines early in the week here, see if there's anything that we like going into our best bet show coming out on Saturday. Want to make sure you get the best of the number if we think there is a line that might move out there. So we are going to go through each game. We'll spend some more time on the ones that we like and some less times on the ones that we don't. But Cody, how are we doing on this fine Wednesday afternoon?
I'm doing great. I feel like over the course of the past 2 years, we've recorded 90%+ of podcasts later into the evening. So yeah, to be able to look outside and see some sunlight is a little change of pace. But got to say, I 100%. Love it. Don't feel as tired as I typically am recording. So ready to roll. Ready for week two. Like I said, coming off a 7-3 week. So pretty excited about that. And ready to hopefully keep it going.
Yeah, definitely a change of pace. I think our podcast has gotten off to a slow start the past couple of years on the betting side of things. Nice to get out to a 7-3 start. Gives you a little cushion in the next couple of weeks. Again, I think we were definitely a little fortunate on a few of those games, but early in the season, there is less information to work off of. So that is kind of to be expected. We want to get better as the year goes, but starting out ahead is just fine with us. We've come back the past couple of years, but I'll take a head start instead of having to dig out of a hole like we have had before. So before we get into the preview itself, I have a couple fun stats that kind of apply to a few of the different games. I have a fun stat for each game, but these ones apply to, you know, a couple games each. So I wanted to just throw them out there, kind of keep them in mind. Again, these trends early in the year, not something we want to lean on. But if you like them, this is something that you can kind of, you kind of just lean into these if that's the sort of better that you are. But this one I thought pretty interesting. Teams to blow a 10-plus point lead in week one. So that would be the Cardinals, the Jaguars, and the Titans are 29-17 straight up and 28-17-1 against the spread since 1990. And within the first 4 weeks of the regular season, those same desperate teams see their games go over at a 59% clip, 80-56-3 since 1990. So overs and covers with those teams that just blew those leads, kind of the opposite of what you might expect. You'd kind of think a team might be a little down on itself after those type of games, but they tend to cover and they tend to score a lot of points in those games. 12 of 16 totals have dropped from their look-ahead line. This is obviously in response to the low scoring we had across the league in week one, but that is the most in a week two in the past 20 years. So it seems that bettors are definitely adjusting to the new world of the first couple weeks of the NFL season. I think this is something that could be symptomatic of the lack of preseason, the lack of the starters getting in there. We probably are going to see this in the first couple weeks of most years unless that changes. And my last one, in the last decade, teams to hold 25 minutes of possession time or less in week one are just 8-23 and 6-25 against the spread. That's 19% in their week two game. Four teams that fit that criteria: the Colts, the Jets, the Panthers, and the Falcons. So, bet those teams at your own risk. That is a pretty strong trend.
Yeah, that's a good trend to know about, especially because teams like I feel like teams like the Jets, the Falcons, the Colts are all teams that people may be a little bit high on. Maybe, you know, obviously the Jets played a tough team in week one, should have an easier matchup in week two. Indy had a decent performance, ended up covering, and then everyone's still relatively high on Atlanta. So I feel like it's kind of good to know that going into week two, so that way hopefully you don't put a bunch of money on those three games. But yeah, no, these are all great stats. Definitely will use some of these later on in the show. Kind of maybe give me a slight lean towards a team that I was already kind of leaning towards. So right. Love these. Before we jump into it, I do wanted to go ahead and just say, if you're listening, make sure you're subscribed. If you're not, make sure to join the Facebook group. That is where we will post any, I guess, updates that happen. If for some reason something big changes between the time we record on Saturday to the time that games start. So make sure you're in there so that way you can take a look. And follow on socials. Obviously, I'm posting some, anytime touchdown score bets during primetime games and stuff like that. So make sure you are following us wherever you can, helping the boys out and hopefully helping the pod grow. I was looking at some numbers, and obviously 2 years ago we were strictly fantasy football. last year we started fantasy football and made the switch to betting, and numbers wise through week one, the podcast is doing far better than we ever did as a fantasy football podcast. So very we nice. Appreciate the support from people out there listening. Thank you very much. And yeah, hopefully we continue to see those numbers tick up as the season goes on. And hopefully we continue to give you winning weeks. That way that inspires you to help share with friends, family, and everybody else out there.
Yeah. And if you don't have time to listen to the pod and you just want to see the picks, we will post those in the Facebook group as well. So yeah, definitely keep an eye out for that. We'll give you some added context when we give our bets on that Saturday show. But like I said, if you don't have time to listen to it and you just want the picks and you want to follow on a couple or all of them, we will give those out in the Facebook group as well. Let's go ahead and jump into our Thursday night game. It's Buffalo at Miami. The Dolphins, 2.5-point home favorites, over-under is 49. This should be a pretty entertaining game here, pretty high implied total, especially for a Thursday game. Thursday home teams, they're just 37-51 against the spread since 2019, including 33-45 in Thursday night games. I think those extra ones are probably the Thanksgiving matchups. But when the spread is four or less, those same home teams only 19-28 in this spot. Again, early in the season, we don't really want to lean on these trends, but just something to keep in mind with Miami. Cody, I'm going to go ahead and throw this one to you. I'm going to be straight up off the bat. I probably don't have a side in this game to recommend. I lean towards Buffalo. I'll explain a little later on, but Cody, if you have a stronger opinion, I will just throw it to you.
Yeah. I'm going to see how the rest of these games play out as we talk about them. This one is in relatively strong contention for my five. I actually like Miami by less than a field goal in this game. A little stat, Tua is 9-3, 75% against the spread as a favorite of three or less at home. I feel like Miami is coming off a game where they didn't necessarily put their best football out there. The reason why I'm not fully going for this one yet, we've already known that Raheem Mostert is out of this game and Devon Achane is a game time decision. So if that does not go in my favor, I'll probably, push my picks till Sunday. But again, keep an eye out in the Facebook group. If we get positive news about Devon Achane, then this one may make it my five. Really what this comes down to, I feel like Miami played an underwhelming game, so maybe a good opportunity to buy, not necessarily low because they're a favorite, and Buffalo is still a solid team, but I still think that you're buying a little bit low. Buffalo looks solid, but they did play a pretty rough Cardinals team, and I don't know. Like I think Josh Allen's amazing. I'm just not completely sold on their offense as it is right now. I feel like their defense is okay, not great. So leaning Miami -2.5. Again, a lot of it's going to depend on whether or not Achane is playing, but we will cross that bridge when we get there. It's at least in strong consideration for my five right now.
Yeah, sharps agree with you. Money percentage leaning heavily that way. I kind of mentioned this last week. I don't really want to lean too hard on this public betting money percentage quite yet. Early in the year, these lines they vary widely, and they will change a lot in between when we talk about it now and game time a lot of the time. So I think we need a couple of weeks for those to stabilize before we can start looking at them with some real lenses and actually making decisions based off them. But I don't have a strong lean here. Like I said, I'd lean Buffalo just because Josh Allen has such a good history against Miami. He's getting points. I believe he's 10-2 straight up against Miami in his career. So that would scare me off of the Dolphins. I think this from the spot perspective, Dolphins are the play. Like you said, Tua as a favorite of three or less or home usually covers. They are the slightly healthier team, at least on defense. And yeah, this Buffalo team, they looked rough against a worse opponent, I would say, in the Cardinals than the Dolphins did against the Jags. So we'll see. Two teams that are pretty evenly matched, and the 2.5-point spread probably attributing to the home field for Miami seems about right to me. I'll probably lay off, but if Cody ends up pulling the trigger, I guess he'll have to let you know before the end of this pod, because we won't record between now and when the game starts. But anything else you want to add?
Nope, I'm good on that one.
Saints at the Cowboys is the first game on our Sunday docket here. Cowboys 6.5-point home favorites, over under 45.5. McCarthy in September and October, got to give him some credit, not always the best coach later into the year and into the playoffs against the spread. But in those 2 months in his career, 71-48-3 against the spread, really, really strong numbers there. And Dennis Allen, conversely, 5-16-2 against the spread after a straight up win in his last game, including 1-13-2. That's unbelievable in November or earlier. And his only cover came against Brady Quinn. Pretty awesome stuff there. Obviously off the bat, we're looking Cowboys. We leaned on them heavily last year in these spots against what we considered, you know, average to below average teams. I definitely consider the Saints in that bucket. Hope this line holds at 6.5. I guess it would concern me a little bit if it did, because that's kind of the book saying that they're not scared of all the teasers that are going to come in on the Cowboys. But at the same time, I just like the spot too much. These trends are really strong. We played this number a lot last year with Dallas and had a lot of success with it. And I think coming into the year, we were both pretty far down on this Saints team, and a blowout win against Carolina at home, not really changing my opinion on who they really are. So if this holds at 6.5, it'll no doubt be in my vibe personally.
Yeah, it's right on the border of being in my five, kind of that, and Miami is probably what I'm deciding between. So I'm right there with you. I think if you are like us and like this Dallas team, take the 6.5 while you can still get it.
Yeah,
there is a chance that this does move up to 7. I don't see it getting to 7.5 necessarily, but that half a point can make a big deal, especially, I mean, this is a perfect game where the Cowboys are up 14, the Saints score a late touchdown and put it at 7. And if you wait to get that 7, then, you know, you're going to end up pushing instead of winning. So I'm right there with Nick. I agree with him totally. I would take Dallas -6.5 while you can still get it.
Yeah, I bet it now. Like you said, the only way this thing goes is towards the Cowboys. And if it's at 7, 7.5 on Saturday, I think there's a few other games I like a little more. That is just obviously a very key number in football, that 7, 7.5 versus the 6.5, for obvious reasons. But yeah, if it's at 6.5 on Saturday, you can pretty much book it. It'll be in my five. I think there's a coin flip chance it's at 7 by that time, though. So we'll just have to see. We've said this a lot, but Friday, Saturday, lots of money comes in. These lines tend to move a couple points one way or the other. Next game here, Bucks at Lions. Lions now laying 7.5 at home. Really big number against a pretty good Bucks team. Over-under is 51.5. This one's a little wordy, but bear with me. Since 1990, we have only seen 4 teams win by 17-plus in week 1 and then be 7-plus point dogs the next week. Those teams are 1-3 against the spread and 0-4 straight up. I wanted to fit this stat in there because I have to give Cody a shout-out here. The one against the spread win was the Rams last year against the 49ers, famously kicking a field goal with 4 seconds left that made no difference in the outcome of the game. It turned it from 30 to 20 to 30 to 23, but our boy Cody Barwick was on that play at Rams +7.5 and took it home here. But I think the point here is that when the books lay these big lines against teams that looked really good in week one, they're usually right. And that would be enough to scare me off of Tampa. Obviously, we've talked ad nauseum about how much we like Detroit. But at 7.5, there's no way I lay that after they, you know, looked a little rusty on offense last week against a solid Tampa Bay outfit. So I'm staying away here, but I think I guess I'd lean Detroit just because all the professional money's on them, but 7.5, no thanks.
Yeah, you said everything that I wanted to say there. Tampa Bay is coming off a huge game against probably the worst defense in the NFL. Detroit still looks solid, especially later in that game against a solid Rams team. But, I mean, I guess I was wrong on this one. I kind of assumed that the pros would be taking the points here with Tampa Bay, but especially with what you said with them being on the Lions, this is just – it's an avoid for me. I mean, if this was like the Cowboys line and this was 6.5 – maybe considering it a little bit more, but again, this is one of those games Tampa Bay scores a late touchdown to cut it to 7 and you end up losing, even though Detroit probably controls the game for most of it. So it's an avoid for me. Any interest in the over under of 51.5? I don't mind that under because I do think these are going to be better. Again, Tampa Bay is playing a better team than they were last week, but I don't have a strong lean there either, just kind of considering the under.
Yeah, I think I'd probably just let it get bet up. This is kind of the same exact thing we saw last week with the Rams and the Lions. It started at around 50, got bet all the way up to like 53.5 before game time. I sprinkled the under there just because that's just a lot of points to ask even for two really good teams, and it flew to the under even in overtime. So I might just wait. If it gets up to that territory again, I might hit it again, but I would probably not put this in my five because I think all, you know, all the better, all the public, or excuse me, all the professional money was on that over last week, and they're going right back to it. So it tells me they're just really confident in this Detroit Lions offense. They looked pretty rusty last week, and we still got to 46 total points. So an extra touchdown if, you know, the Lions are humming doesn't seem too much to ask for these two teams. It wouldn't be in my pie, but yeah, if it's game time and it's 53.5, 54, you probably just want to put some on the under because, you know, the trends are very heavy when a game's that high. It's almost always going to, you know, it's 55, 60%. One of those plays you just kind of want to make weekly and you'll be profitable long term. Anyway, next game here, Colts at Packers. Colts, 3-point favorites on the road in Lambeau here, over unders 41. Stat for this game, backup quarterbacks in their first start as a backup for their team that season. That would be Malik Willis in this game since 2021. 20 and 49 straight up, only 29%. But interestingly, 37, 30 and 2 against the spread, 55%. So very, very high likelihood we see a win for the Colts and a cover by the Packers if you believe those numbers. But Cody, I will again throw this one to you. I do have a lean here, but it's probably on the outside looking in at my five.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you. I like Green Bay. I really liked him at -3.5 or +3.5, which you could have got earlier in the week. Getting down to 3 kind of scares me off a little bit, but at least reassuring that some money's coming in to push that line down a little bit on the Packers. Again, like I said, the Colts are going to be a little sporadic with Anthony Richardson. He's going to have amazing highlight plays, and then he's going to have, you know, the other half of plays that look kind of rough. So I'm leaning to go with the Packers +3 right now. If it goes under 3 to 2.5, I'm definitely probably going to move off of it. But if I can get the full field goal, I like it. Don't love Malik Willis. Don't love having to bet on Malik Willis. But I think LaFleur is a smart enough coach that if he doesn't have any confidence in Willis, then they're going to run the crap out of the ball, try and play ball control against Indy, which, you know, can work at least a little bit. But again, lean right now is on Green Bay taking the points. What do you say in this one?
Yeah, see, I'm on the other side here. I like the Colts at 3 or under. It scares me on the road laying points with Anthony Richardson, especially against a good coach in LaFleur. But I think there's a chance that Malik Willis is just so incompetent that, you know, no matter how smart a coach is, at some point he needs, you know, a quarterback out there that can complete the ball 5+ yards down the field. And I just don't believe that's something Malik Willis can do. Is that something Anthony Richardson can do? Jury's still out. But I think, you know, he'll be able to make a couple big plays happen like he did last week, and that might be enough here. But I think 41, the under is interesting. The Colts play really fast, so that would be the only thing that'd scare me off of it. But you'd figure in this game between Richardson and Willis, what, 70% of the plays will be runs? I mean, this clock is going to be moving. That would be my early look, but the Colts do play a really fast pace, which can kind of screw these up sometimes. So I think I'd be on Colts if it gets to 2.5. It might not make my five, but I'd probably bet it. But we'll see. I have some stronger leans later on here, so don't think it's going to end up in my my best bets.
Yeah, I don't mind that under. You just got to be watching out for defensive touchdowns. I could see Malik Willis being liable for one of those and potentially another one that puts the Colts in great field position. So that would be the only thing that kind of scares me there. But yeah, like you said, the clock's going to be moving probably nonstop in this game. I see both of these teams running the football quite a bit. So I don't mind that under as it sits there now.
Jets at Titans, our next game here. Jets 3.5-point favorites on the road here, over unders 40.5. You want a stat that means absolutely nothing but is pretty fun? I got it here for you. Teams after playing in Soldier Field are 98, 62, and 2 against the spread in the last 20 years. That's 61%, making a $100 better about 3,000 in the positive. The next closest stadium, the Jaguars, and they're in the 1,700 range. A very large gulf for whatever reason. I don't think it means a damn thing, but it's pretty fun. Cody, I'll throw this one to you. I think I'm going to be on the other side of the year, but I'll let you go first.
Yeah. When I was typing my notes, I felt a little bit differently. I kind of like Tennessee +3.5. You get the hook on a home team. So that's at least why I'm kind of leaning the Titans. I was a little bit more excited for it initially, but the more I think about Will Levis and putting my money on Will Levis, it just kind of scares me off of it a little bit. So I know my notes in here are a little bit stronger than what I'm putting out there, but my slight lean is on the Titans getting the 3.5. But as I've kind of thought more about it, I'm talking myself out of it, at least in my head. So for right now, I guess my slight lean is on Titans, but this one's probably getting pushed out of my five as we kind of talk through these.
Yeah, all the trends that you'd probably look at across the board would be on you on the 3.5 at home with the Titans here. It's usually the smart play, but I think the Jets might just be a class or two ahead of the Titans here. I think they did look a little underwhelming on Monday night, like you said, but you know, the San Francisco 49ers on the road is about the toughest matchup you can have, especially in week one. I think Rodgers looked pretty good from a health standpoint. You know, nothing like how bad Kirk Cousins looked. You know, he looked healthy, mobile enough for a 40-year-old quarterback. He looked, you know, looked like he had zip on the ball when he threw it down the field. Just didn't have a ton of opportunities to do that since the 49ers just absolutely took the air out of the ball. I believe by the time Rodgers was pulled from the game, they were under 20 minutes on time of possession. So they just really didn't get a lot of looks at the ball after the Niners started running so well. I think if it gets down to three, this would probably be in my five. I think the Jets are really are a pretty strong team and much better than this Titans outfit. And I know that they had struggles stopping the run last week. That's what Tennessee is probably going to try to do here. But if the Jets just commit to stopping that run and make Will Levis beat them one-on-one on the outside, I have no confidence in him being able to do that with these great corners that the Jets have. So if it gets down to three, I think it'll be in my five, but at 3.5, I'm probably off of it.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you now. Very, very slight lean on the Titans, but I'm not going to recommend betting on Will Levis, especially against the defense of the Jets, which didn't look great against the 49ers, but I feel like the 49ers are going to make a lot of defenses not look great this year. So, right. Like I said, kind of talked myself out of it as I was typing up notes and looking through it. So, yeah, I slightly lean Titans, but I feel like Nick has a better point as to why you should bet the Jets versus any point I can make for the Titans. So, I'm with you now.
I believe we opened 4.5 in this game too, and it's down to 3.5. So, or I guess we opened 4, but still it's moving slightly towards the Titans. If, like I said, if we can get down to 3 by Saturday, that would be great. And I'd probably include the Jets in my 5, but that is a pretty key number. So there's going to be it's going to have to be a lot of money coming in on the Titans for that to tick down to 3. 49ers at Vikings. 49ers 6-point road favorites. Over unders 45.5 in this one. Stat of this game, pretty simple. Kyle Shanahan 8-2 against the spread on the road on short rest, typically a spot you'd look to bet against the team. Kyle Shanahan somehow even stronger in these positions. I slightly lean Vikings here. I know it might be stupid, but the fact that this is at 6 and holding at 6 makes me think, again, another game where you're going to have a ton of teasers, including the 49ers. I think Vegas is kind of calling their shot here that Minnesota might have a chance to win this one outright. I really just love the matchup of Brian Flores versus Brock Purdy. I think he has the scheme to potentially confuse him on the field. Kyle Shanahan, a fantastic play caller, but at some point, again, Brock Purdy's going to have to make a play against this Minnesota defense, and I trust Brian Flores to throw some different defenses into the mix there. So I lean Viking Minnesota +6. There are a lot of games that are in consideration for my five right now, so I don't know if this is in. There are only about two or three, I'd say, that I'm like pretty sure are going to be in my five at this point. This is in the blob of the rest. But Cody, how do you feel?
Yeah, this one's a tough read for me because I'm surprised that San Francisco is not favored by at least a touchdown. But my only thing is Minnesota looks so good against a bad Giants team that it's going to be a completely different ball game against San Francisco. But same thing I said about the Titans, getting a bunch of points for a home team is usually a pretty good bet. So this one I'm probably staying away from at this point. But I understand why you want to be on the Vikings. I mean, getting 6 points, the line hasn't moved.
That's the key.
I get where you're coming from. This is just kind of an avoid for me. But if you want to move on to the next game, my cat just knocked something over. I need to go pick up, so I will be right back.
Yeah, go ahead. I'll introduce the next one while you're away. Seattle at New England. The Seahawks 3.5-point road favorites here against the Patriots, over under a very juicy 38 points. Jacoby Brissett 32-17 against the spread in the first half in his career. Of 260 quarterbacks in the last 20 years, he is the third most profitable. The top two, both Baltimore Ravens. Joe Flacco number one, Lamar number two. Again, I would not really put much stock into that stat, but it's a fun one anyway. I don't know how Cody's going to feel about this one. I really have absolutely no read on it. I guess I'd be on Seattle, but at 3.5, I'd be staying away. I just don't know enough about these two teams quite yet to be laying 3.5 points on the road for the Seahawks, especially in a game with a total of 38. So, Cody, I just mentioned that I would probably be staying away from this game. Seattle at -3 would be the only way I'd look at it, but it's a 3.5 right now, so no thank you.
Yep, if we got to under a field goal for Seattle, if it was at 2.5, it'd probably make my 5, but at 3.5, this is just a stay away for me, especially, like you said, the over-under so low that, you know, they're at least implying some points for New England or expecting them to keep it somewhat close in a low-scoring game. So at that point, probably staying off of it. I do think, you know, the Patriots are probably coming off the game of the year that they're going to have unless this team's just sneakily better than everyone's expecting. But the Seattle offensive line is also not very good, so I could see Jerod Mayo designing some blitzes to kind of throw Geno Smith off and, like you said, just keeping it a low-scoring, relatively close game. But if for any reason this number ends up dipping below a field goal, it's at least in consideration. But for right now, just staying away.
Yeah, really not much else to add on this game. New England's basically a complete unknown. Seattle does have, obviously, a lot of returning pieces, but a new coaching staff completely. And that Denver team, you know, jury's still out there, so we're not really sure what to think of their 6-point win at home over the Broncos last week. Giants at Commanders. Commanders 1.5-point favorites at home here, over under 44. That's been bet up pretty heavily. I believe it was closer to 40 when it opened. Probably some people breaking down the film on these two defenses last week. It was pretty raw for both of them. Daniel Jones, 5-1-1 straight up and 6-1 against the spread versus Washington in his career. Against everyone else, he is 18-37 straight up and 26-29 against the spread. Not actually as bad as I would have thought, at least against the spread, against everyone else. So, Cody, I think I might be going insane, but I really like the Giants here. It's mostly a play on the number, too. Why are they only 1.5? Why are they only getting 1.5 here? Who in their right mind would watch that Giants game last week against a Vikings team that may be, you know, solid, but is not going to be better than a 9 or 10 win team this season, and take them on the road only getting 1.5? It just, the books seem to be calling their shot here. This game opened at 3, I believe. It's down to 1.5. It's moved towards the Giants, even though all the money is coming in on the Commanders that I've seen. I don't know. This is just me just kind of following the books here, and maybe maybe just following a trend that Daniel Jones has been really successful against Washington. And I might be crazy, but I think the Giants plus 1.5 is going to be in my 5.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. If you look at the Washington tape from last week, their defense is horrible. Like I said, probably the worst defense in the NFL, at least to start the season. So, yeah, I could see Daniel Jones having at least a little bit of success against them. Honestly, Washington's offense was not very inspiring except for Jaden Daniels' rushing ability. So, yeah, I don't mind taking the Giants side of this at all. With the over-under being bet up to 44, I don't mind taking the under at this point just because I do see a potential low-scoring game. If, you know, again, I think Jaden Daniels is going to be able to run enough to keep Washington at least relevant, but I don't know if, you know, either of these teams are going to be putting up 25-plus points. So with that being said, I kind of have a lean on the under. I mean, if it continues to get bet up, it'll be even more interesting for me. But, yeah, I don't mind your Giants take it all. I think that's the right side to be on. I think it's a good bet. Honestly, if you gave me $1,000 and told me, do you think Daniel Jones would be positive against the spread against the entire NFL, I would have said no without hesitation. Yeah. So to see that he would be 32 and 30 against the spread in his career, wow, that's a little surprising for sure.
Yeah, especially the good numbers against Washington. Yeah, again, I think this is really just a play on the number for me. To watch it open at 2.5, shorten up to 1.5, even though all the money's coming in on the Commanders, is a very big red flag, I guess, if you want to say it that way, to me, that the books are kind of calling their shot on the Giants coming out and winning this ball game. And I'm going to follow them. I don't know. I might be insane, but I have a pretty strong feeling about that one. Chargers at Panthers, our next one here. This one, I do not have a strong feeling on. Chargers, 6-point favorites, over-unders 39. In the last 20 years, teams to lose by 35-plus, that would be the Panthers, and our then underdogs of 4-plus in their next game are 50-18-2 against the spread. That is a 73.5% clip, but only 6-6 against the spread in the first 4 weeks of the year. So take from that what you will. But Cody, I don't really even want to spend any time on this game. Can't put the Panthers in, but I think all the value's on them. But I'm just staying away. I need to see something from the Panthers before we bet them. We said that on Monday. So I'm not going to stray from that now. And the Chargers at 6 on the road, just too big.
Yeah, there's enough games this week that I like, either on the spread or the over-under, that I don't have to consider the Panthers' value here. Just curious, though, on the Action Network, what's the percentage of bets, percentage of money on this game?
Let me check for you.
I'm just curious because I think when we talked about it earlier this week, I think there was a large lean towards the Chargers, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I'm sure it's still looking that way, especially – yeah, I'm sure it's still looking that way since it's only Wednesday. Let's see, pulling up. All right. Where'd my Chargers game go? There we go. 25% of the bets on the Chargers, 84% of money. So according to Action Network, quite a heavy lean on the Chargers still. But this line has shortened a little bit. It was at 6.5 down to 6. So, yeah, I don't know. I like I said, I haven't looked too much into it because I knew I was pretty much staying away from it off the jump just because maybe if it was still 3.5, might have taken the Chargers, but at 6, no thanks.
For sure.
Over-under is only 39 in that game, too, so should be low scoring. We'll revisit, but probably not going to be another one of our 5. Browns at Jags. Jags, 3-point home favorites in this one, over-under 41.5. Another meaningless stat that was pretty fun for me. Kevin Stefanski is 0-4 against the spread coaching in week 2. That is the most ATS losses without a win for all 134 coaches in the last 20 years. So fade Kevin Stefanski in week 2, I guess. I think I would be leaning Jags here, though, if I was going anywhere. My fear is that this is going to be at 3.5 by the time we record Saturday. At that point, I would probably stay off it just out of respect to the Browns defense, but this Jags front 7 looked pretty good against the Dolphins. They got worn out towards the end of the game because they were on the field a lot. But holding Miami Dolphins to 20 points on the road is a, nothing to sniff your nose at. So I think this Jags defense might be improved, and I think Trevor Lawrence and the offense could do enough to pull out at least a 3-point win here. It'd be in consideration for me. Again, another one that's sort of in that blob for me. We'll see where the line movement takes us.
If I remember correctly, this was at 4 when we talked earlier this week, right? Because I think I said if it was Jameis,
yeah,
I would
shortened.
Take.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. So that kind of surprised me a little bit, just because of how bad the Browns looked. But I mean, this is a great professional buy low spot on a Browns team that just looked horrible last week. So yeah, I agree with you. I want to be on the Jags here. Just a little nervous that this number is coming down on the Jags side of it, but. I mean, if that trend continues and we can find a way to get this less than a field goal, I think I would jump all over the Jags. But like you said, I think I see it either sticking at 3 or potentially moving up before going down below a field goal.
Yeah, 100%, especially if it is actually Watson starting. NFL, why is this guy still in the league? Just get him the hell out of here. No one asked for him. Cleveland fans don't like him. No one else likes him. He's had another.
No one likes him.
Another report coming out that he's getting sued again for a very, very similar MO to, the other allegations that he had a couple of years ago. So, I can't believe he's still going to be on an NFL field. I can't wait till we don't have to talk about him anymore. But Jags, three or less would be the lead.
Yeah, I looked into the report as to, what the suit was for and some of the details in it. And, I don't know. Like, I understand there's a legal process and you have to let it play out and whatnot, but
it's disturbing.
I don't know how you're in the NFL front office and you see those reports come out and he's at least not on the exempt list until something else comes out about it. Like, just the reports are disgusting and horrible. So I hope he's gone. I hope it happens sooner rather than later, but yeah.
Yeah, the fact that the story is so similar to the other ones just makes it even worse, because it just, you know, it's like, oh, this guy clearly has an MO in these situations. So anyway, hopefully we can rid ourselves of Deshaun Watson, the human being and the football player,
then we
before
get James.
Too long.
That would be fun.
Hey, that's like the complete opposite. He's so fun, and like I'd watch I love watching press conferences with that guy, even if he's not the best quarterback. I think the vibes in Cleveland would be a lot higher with him under center. Next game here, Raiders at Ravens. Baltimore laying 8.5 points here at home, over under 41.5 here. Over the past four seasons, Lamar is 7-17 against the spread as a favorite of more than 3. Talked about this at length on Monday. Really like this one for the Raiders, plus 8.5. And it's gotten even better, guys, because it was at 9.5. And it's shortened to 8.5, even though Action Network is telling me all of the money is coming in on the Ravens. So the fact that this line shortened up, even with that, that makes me real happy. That's exactly what you want to see from a better taking the dog here. And I'm not worried about that line shortening. You know, 9.5 to 8.5, not a key number at all. Even down to 7.5, I'll be just fine with it. If it gets to 7 by Saturday, that's when I'd start, you know, maybe considering getting off of it. But as long as it's above that, I will be all over it.
Me too. This is probably going to be a podcast bet as long as it stays over 7.5. So yeah, I'm all over the Raiders in this game. I think it's a great spot for them. Honestly, you go back and you look at last week, like Gardner Minshew didn't necessarily play as bad as, you know, you would be led to believe based on the analysis, mostly due to what Antonio Pierce did in the fourth quarter, punting on the opposing team's side of the field down in the game with like 4 minutes left. So like there were a lot of negative things to come out of Vegas. Overall, their team didn't play that bad. They don't really have much of a running game right now, which is kind of scary. But like Nick highlighted earlier this week, you give me that Vegas front four against this Baltimore offensive line, and I absolutely love it. So yeah, I'm, if it stays over 7.5, this will be a podcast bet. It'll definitely be in both of our fives for sure.
Yeah, just like Cody said, love the matchup here. I did mention this on Monday, but I'll reiterate now. Love the matchup up front for the Raiders, especially on the defensive side. And I think a lot of people are going to look to the fact that the Chargers ran for 176 yards last week and say, oh, Lamar and Derek are just going to run all over these guys. But keep in mind, out of that 176 yards, 102 yards of it came on 2 carries from J.K. Dobbins. So besides those 2 carries, you're looking at 74 yards on 20 rushing attempts, 21 rushing attempts. So that looks a lot better after you, take into consideration the fact that there was 2 just huge plays that really juiced those numbers. I think this Raiders run defense can hang. And if it does, I think the pass rush will be getting home on Lamar enough against that Baltimore line that looks really shaky against KC last week. And if that's the case, I think, you know, we're sitting real pretty at 8.5 right now. I got it at 9.5. I'd bet it now because, again, I think the only way this goes is towards the Raiders at this point, since it's already dropping. We like the spot quite a bit for Las Vegas.
Absolutely.
Rams at Cardinals. Rams laying getting 1.5 points. Jesus. Well, getting 1.5 points on the road against the Cardinals. Over-under is 49. McVay versus Arizona, 12-2-1 against the spread. No idea why the Rams are getting points in this game. I would assume they'd be favorites. They were 2-point favorites when this line opened. It's been bet all the way to 1.5 for Arizona. So that scares me a little bit. That's really the only reason I can see for betting the Cardinals is just following this line movement. But even considering that, we bet this trend a few times last year, or at least mentioned it. When the line flips, like if you open as a dog, like the Cardinals did at +2, and then you end up as a favorite, those teams do not cover very often. It's around 40%. So that's another thing in our bag here. Cody, I'm kind of skimming through your notes now. I don't love to read these because I don't want to, you know, seem biased coming in, but I like the Rams a lot here, +1.5. Unless I read something that just, you know, totally gets me off of it, I don't see how I would not be on the Rams here.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. As you can see in my notes, I am all over the Rams in this one, especially getting points. I mean, nowadays in the NFL, home field's worth, you know, 1.5 to 2 points. So your Vegas is basically telling us that these teams are even, which doesn't make very much sense to me. The Cardinals played a solid game last week, but they needed a kickoff return for a touchdown and a fumble by Josh Allen to cover that spread and keep it relatively close. The Rams played a much tougher team in the Lions and kept that one close, ended up getting it to really could have won that game in regulation, ended up losing in overtime. So, I'm all over the Rams. I think that they're the side to be on. I love the stat that a dog that becomes a favorite is not a positive bet. That makes me even more excited about the Rams. But obviously you lose Puka, which, you know, betting wise, probably not really even worth very much on the spread. But I don't know. I'm going to have to do a little bit more research to make sure there's not potentially key injuries that I'm just overlooking on this Rams team, because this one just doesn't make any sense to me. If I don't find anything that pushes me off of it, the Rams are going to be in my five without a doubt.
Yeah, 100%. Like you said, I need to do a little more research on this one to make sure I'm not missing something here. But yeah, McVay has been really, really successful against Arizona's career. Conversely, Kyler obviously has been really bad against the Rams in his career because it's been basically McVay the whole time. And then the teams themselves, I like the Rams structure better. I think they played a much tougher opponent last week, like Cody said, and showed themselves just as well, if not better, than the Cardinals did against the Bills. So all over the Rams, hopefully this line holds where it is, but we will see come Saturday. This should be in my five as well as Cody's, it sounds like. Next game here, Steelers at the Broncos. My Denver Broncos giving 2.5 points to the Steelers as of now, over under a very juicy 36.5. We love these dirty games. So usually corner TV type of games, but ones that bettors can kind of take advantage of. Denver home games, they are 47-29-1 since 2015 to the under. And all 9 years, they have been 500 or better to the under at home. I think that gives you an idea of why this game is so far down. I think it started around 40. It's been bet all the way to 36.5. So unfortunately, I think we've lost the numbers that we would like to play on the under here. But another good one here. When Tomlin opens at -3 or higher, as the Steelers did on the road, he is 21-35-2 against the spread. Again, Tomlin's a pretty simple coach. When he is a dog, you want to back him. When he's a favorite, you want to fade him. And I think I feel pretty similarly about this game. I think the Broncos actually showed a little more fight than I was expecting after they went down 2 scores to the Seahawks. If it gets back up to 3, there's a good chance it's in my 5. Another one that just finds itself in that blob of games for my last 2 or 3 spots. So line movement will determine which way I go here in those 5 to 7 games I've talked about. But I want to play Denver at home here, getting points, especially just Justin Fields on the road. Should not be laying a field goal to this Broncos team that I think will be able to scheme up some ways to make things difficult for him. So if it gets back to 3, it's probably my 5.
Yeah, and for more to push you more on the Denver side, I mean, the only true offensive weapon that the Steelers have that you'd be worried about is George Pickens. And if you told me Surtain is on him for the majority of the game, mm-hmm. then who is Justin Fields throwing the ball to when he already has issues throwing the football as is? So, yeah, I'm with you there. I had a buddy I was texting last night about some bets this week, and he thinks that the Steelers defense is just too good against a rookie quarterback, which I guess that makes sense. But like you said, this is just not a game where you back the Steelers and Mike Tomlin. This is where you try and fade them as much as possible. I feel like you're walking into it if you bet the Steelers. I don't have it. I'll make sure to get this stat before we record on Saturday, but I know low over-unders, betting the under, which sounds
usually very successful,
is actually a very positive bet. Mm-hmm. So, and this is definitely one of those where I can see this becoming, you know, one of these two teams kind of staying in the single digits. So I don't mind the under. I'll get that stat if I end up locking in as one of my 5, but it's at least something that's in consideration. Like you said, it's been bet down, so you definitely have lost the best of the number, but still, low over-unders are usually a good bet. And again, these two teams, I could see that being the case for sure. So I'm with you. If Denver gets up to a field goal, don't mind that one, and don't mind the under as well.
Yeah, again, we'll just see what the live move that tells us and revisit on Friday night or Saturday morning whenever we decide to record. Bengals at the Chiefs. Chiefs, 5.5-point home favorites, over under 47.5. The Chiefs have won 7 straight games straight up and against the spread dating back to last year, longest streak in the NFL currently. Joe Burrow, 14-6-1 against the spread after a straight-up loss, including 10-3 against the spread on the road. And Mahomes is just 10-13-2 against the spread when the line moves 2+ points towards his team. Started at 3.5. It's at 5.5 right now. Like the Bengals a lot at 6. That's a really key number, though. So at 5.5, there are some other games I think I just like more. Another one that falls into the blob, probably the back end of it at this point, because I don't see it going back to 6. I guess it might. We'll just have to see. But I already bet it at +6. If it's not there, though, I'm just going to hold that ticket and lay off of it for the best bets.
Yep. Don't mind it. This is an avoid for me. I want to see the Chiefs dominate the Bengals as a fan. But if you're going to take one of the two sides, I think the smart bet, smart money is going to be on the Bengals to bounce back after a terrible week one performance against the Patriots. You also get Ja'Marr Chase probably more in the fold this week than he was coming into the season. If T. Higgins is healthy, that's also a plus on this Cincinnati side. So an avoid for me because I don't want too early in the season for me to get my fandom wrapped up, but I think that the smart bet's probably on Cincinnati.
Yeah, Joe Burrow 3-1 in his career versus the Chiefs as well. Another thing to consider, that only loss being the AFC Championship 2 years ago, a 3-point game. So Joe Burrow has not obviously lost a game by this number to the Chiefs in his career. And the Bengals have just, I think the Bengals defense is really the key here, that their defensive coordinator, for whatever reason, just seems to have Mahomes and Reed's number to a degree. Obviously he doesn't shut them down, but he finds ways to slow them down, mixes his looks up, and does a pretty good job consistently on keeping this Chiefs offense down compared to the rest of the league. So I'd be looking Bengals, but at 5.5, there are other games I think I just like better. Bears at Texans. Texans 6-point home favorites, over under 45.5 here. CJ Stroud has been pretty straightforward so far in his career. He's played 18 games. He's been a favorite in 9. He's been a dog in 9. He's 6-3 as a dog, and he's 3-6 as a favorite. Like a lot of quarterbacks out there, you pretty much just want to back him when he's getting points. He's not in this case. I did really like this game on Monday when we talked. I thought Houston would be bet up farther from the 6.5 it was at, just because of how bad Chicago looked. But this is a really weird line. Started at 6.5, went up to 7 like I thought, but then now bet all the way back down past 6.5 to 6. That scares me a little bit. Again, another one that would fall into kind of the Bengals realm of things. I think this would be towards the back end of the blob. I do like Houston, but the line movement scares me a little bit, and there are other games that just like more. So unless this thing ticks back up or I read something that really convinces me, then I think I'll just be avoiding here. Oh. Codes?
There we go. I think we're back. Sorry, I cut out for about a 10 okay, seconds cool. there, but okay, I got the gist of what you were going for. Yeah, honestly, same. I could not tell either, so I was like, I'll just give it a second. Yeah, I agree with everything that you said. Honestly, my only lean is taking the primetime under in this game. The Bears offense didn't give me a lot of hope after week one. They're going to go against a top-tier defensive coach in D'Amico Ryans. The Bears defense does give me some hope for this under, even though Houston's probably going to have a top-tier offense for the rest of the year. So my only lean's towards the under. I'm staying away from the spread. I mean, I guess based on your statistics here, Chicago may be the play, but I don't have enough confidence to give it out. So only lean is on the under.
Yeah, I think this Houston defense might be pretty underrated too. We obviously saw the Colts score 27 last week, but only 303 total yards for the Colts, and they had 3 huge plays in this one. A 54-yard catch to Ashton Doolin, a 60-yard catch for Alec Pierce, and then another Alec Pierce catch that was probably 40 to 50 yards. So beyond those 3 plays, they were in the mid-100s of total yards. Again, I think those 3 plays, probably a little more fluky than they are something to be consistently worried about for this Houston team. So I think this defense might just be a little underrated here. And after how bad the Bears looked, it's hard for me to say that they're going to come into Houston and, you know, put up 20 plus points, which they might have to do to cover this number. But yeah, again, the line movement scaring me off the Texans just a tad. I really thought this thing would move towards 7 and stay there. But we'll see on Saturday where it goes. Last game of the slate, Falcons at Eagles. Eagles, 6.5-point home favorites. So many games at 6-7 on the spreads. Tons of teaser opportunities. Just be careful out there, guys. The Vegas knows this, and I think a lot of the action coming in on all the favorites in these situations too. So something to kind of keep in mind as you navigate this slate. Okay, Eagles, 6.5-point home favorites, over under 47. Hurts, he has made 10 career starts at home in primetime. He's 8-1-1 against the spread. Kirk Cousins, the exact opposite. He has made 41 starts in primetime, 17-23-1 straight up, but 16-25 against the spread. Two polar opposites here as far as Hurts and Cousins are concerned under the lights. Another game that I really don't have any lean towards. There are already a lot that I've mentioned that I like that are in consideration for my five. This one, I really couldn't get to either side. I think the Falcons are probably the sharp play just because I feel like everybody's going to be on the Eagles here, but I think I'd want 7.5 if I was going to play the Falcons. So at this number, I'll just stay away.
Yep, I'm kind of right there with you. Don't have a strong lean or really any lean either way. I thought that the Falcons might be in a good buy low spot, but
yep,
you know, the stats above or the stats that you just gave out definitely scare me off of it a little bit. And I think I just want to see this Falcons offense kind of get going a little bit. Kirk Cousins didn't look that great coming off his Achilles. So like you said, if it was over a touchdown, we'd maybe have a little bit more stronger consideration for it. But at the number it's at, I think you just got to avoid this game. Yeah, I don't have much analysis about it. I didn't do too much in looking into it. Once I saw your stats, I was just like, okay, I'm just going to avoid this game. Like I said, this is one of those. There's plenty of other games out there that I have a better lean on or a better idea of. So staying off of this one for now.
Yeah, Falcons, one of those teams, they're probably not going to be on my slip until week 4 or 5, until we really know what this offense looks like. Cousins didn't look great at home against a good Steelers pass rush. That could be forgivable, but coming off that Achilles injury, there were some concerning signs. Only took one snap under center. That would be, you know, in theory, because they don't want him to have to drop back and plant off of his Achilles, which is his right foot. That'd be your plant leg as a right-handed quarterback. So I want to see him come out and look at least healthy in a game or two before I either back Atlanta or go against them, because if Cousins comes out and starts looking great and we're on the Eagles, then, you know, this could be a close game and we could be on the wrong side. So I think Vegas kind of thinking the same thing here. They're not sure who the Falcons are, so they just hang the 6.5 and let people choose, you know, choose their own adventure there. So Falcons probably won't be on my ticket until week 4 or 5, until we're sure what we're looking at.
Yep, kind of right there with you. You have anything else for the week?
Don't think so. We can get out of here.
Cool. Sounds good. Again, make sure you join the Facebook group. Follow me on Twitter. I, again, potentially going to lock in the Dolphins -2.5, but we are going to wait to see some injury news before we lock that in. Don't want to lock it in, and then next thing you know, I'm betting on Jeff Wilson to keep the Miami offense on the field. So,
yeah, that's fair.
I'll throw it in the group. I'll throw it on Twitter, maybe Instagram as well, and let you guys know if I end up locking that in. But for right now, it's a slight lean towards Miami. If Achan's in, there's a good chance that that's going to be one of my five. So just be on the lookout for that. And yeah, again, make sure you subscribe, follow on socials, help the boys out. We appreciate the support we've gotten through the first couple of episodes of this season. And we will we'll be back. We either record Friday night or Saturday morning. Pod will be released probably around 12 on Saturday. So if you got some weekend errands, we'll give you something to listen to while you drive from place to place. But Nick, I will I'll talk to you later this week, and peace out, everybody.
MIZ, baby.
Oh, yeah, let's go.